This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the show. I am Lee Chui Lin. Gardens are usually the last place a prospective buyer would look when considering real estate, and it also happens to be given the least attention by homeowners once they move in. But are we losing out on an essential part of the home experience by neglecting this piece of land? We asked Managing Director of Terra Garden, Desmond Ho, who is also a horticulturist, garden designer, and author of Desmond Ho's Guide to Beautiful Home Gardens. Welcome to the show, Desmond.
Thank you. Thank you, Lin.
So, Desmond, what sparked your interest in gardens?
When I decided to stop working 9 to 5, looking for something to do, and when I choose to deal with plant because plant don't talk back.
What inspired you then to write the book?
It all started, initially I was dealing a lot with plant retail, indoor plant especially. But then when I was involving in landscaping and designing of garden, when we started giving the garden an identity, our own local identity, that's when urge of documenting our work.
And you talk a lot about, or rather in the book and in your website, there is this concept of Neo Nusantara. What is that concept exactly?
Neo is new. Of course, Nusantara is the Malay archipelago. In Malaysia, our influence comes from not only this region, Nusantara region, but also from Indian traders, Arab traders, the Chinese, Dutch, Portuguese, British, Japanese even. So we are like a melting pot. Also many diverse culture and craft that came into Malaysia. So our philosophy here of Neo Nusantara is to study the culture and craft, and we give it an interpretation. But we stop short from going down to the roots, meaning that if I were to study on the culture of Baba Nyonya, example, if I go down to the roots, I will end up in China. Or the Minangkabau in Negeri Sembilan, I will end up in Sumatra. So in order to express a truly Malaysian identity, we have to stop at our own shore. So that's the meaning of Neo Nusantara.
In your book, you not only focus on tips on making a home garden look nice, but also on tips on how to make it function well. What are the functions of a home garden? I don't think many of us think of the function. You know, we just want flowers, for example.
Yeah, we based on this philosophy of five senses to create that function. First, we believe that the sight, interpretation of sight is beauty. Place must be beautiful enough to attract. So when you have attraction, people come near, they must be rewarded by touch. Interpretation of touch is places you can sit down, or a few of you could sit down together. And imagine if you're sitting down in a nice, beautiful place and you can hear the sound of water from your water feature. And when the wind blows, you get the smell from your fragrance plant. And if it's, you're having a cup of coffee or tea in this environment with your loved one, or after a hard day's work, during full moon or starry night or sunrise, sunset. So this is the ideal. This is the function of the garden that we are trying to put forward.
And we've spoken about this before, and I suppose it's related to what you just said. What is the outdoor living concept?
Oh, Lynn, it's just like interior designer would do your interior room. What we do is actually we design your outdoor room. The purpose of this outdoor room is to harness pleasure from Mother Nature.
And I suppose for us to be able to sit comfortably in it would also be important.
Yeah. A lot of times, Lynn, people think that, garden is just for, some lawn and shrubs and that's it, or some fruit trees, or mango tree at the corner, or a koi pond at the right-hand corner of the house. But if you look at it a bit deeper, whatever you can do inside, you actually can do outside. So if you create a room properly, then the homeowners will enjoy when they go out.
You write about creating a beautiful Malaysian garden, and earlier we spoke about that concept, as well as the need, I suppose, to stop at our own shores. If not, we'll just be, plumbing influences from all over the world. So having done all that research, having looked into this, what then is a Malaysian garden?
Yeah, if you mention what is English garden, everybody can imagine.
Yeah.
What is the Japanese garden, you can picture it too, right? Malaysian garden, even after 13 years of work, it is still a blur to a lot of people. So, our reach is only Klang Valley. We have about 4,000 of our customer base around Klang Valley. And these are the people that know about our work, and there's some in overseas. But there is a distinct identity this Malaysian Garden that we're trying to put forward. One of the items that trying to differentiate is actually our kind placard lattice work. Why we use the kind placard motif is because you've noticed the kind placard sarong is used by all the Malay, Indian, the Chinese, even they use as baby cot. So it's one item across races and religion. Nobody claimed that it's mine or yours. Everybody use it, and then they use it happily. So that's how our idea of or inspiration of expressing that Malaysian identity. Of course, we do have a lot of other components that every single pieces of component that we put in our outdoor room have a story to tell. And the story is based on our culture and our craft.
So what are some of what are some quintessential Malaysian plants then that you think should be in a Malaysian garden? Because, you know, as you point out, Japanese garden, you might think sakura. English garden, you'll think of an English rose, you know, or ferns. So when it comes to a Malaysian garden, what are some sort of defining plants, I guess?
Well, I think pumpkin. It's not pumpkin, it's pumpkin. Pumpkin is actually a raised up deck. If you talk about garden bench, most of the garden benches you see in the park, they are actually Victorian or English garden bench. But the how in the village, you can see people sit around in the garden under a shady rambutan tree, is actually a raised up deck, whether it's made of bamboo or sometimes made of some planks. This is how you can see that people go out and enjoy their outdoors.
So when you're thinking of building a garden, what are some of the basic elements that a garden should have?
Oh, I think most important to look at it is actually your when you plan for a garden is to look first at the lifestyle of people that will live in the house, especially in an urban area. If where spaces are commodity is very expensive and small, so planning is very critical, and things that you should put inside it should be reflecting your lifestyle. So meaning that if, let's say, you are a keen gardener and you like to do gardening and you like to watch plant growth, then you must have a small vegetable plots or, you know, herbs or kitchen garden plot. Even you can use wall spaces instead of floor spaces if your garden is very small. But if you are the type that, you know, you like to have a look at a nice garden and you don't like to do all the heavy work, so a functional garden for entertaining, that will be suitable for you.
Mm-hmm. And if you are interested in the therapeutic qualities of a home garden, you know, what would you have to say to those people? What forms of, I guess, what therapeutic qualities can a home garden have?
Well, in an urban setting, people are deprived of beauty of nature. The beauty of nature is like sound or water. So if you have small little water feature, the sound of water will actually relax you, make you feel cool and relaxed. And also when you have open water feature, chances are you attract a bit of birds or insects. You get the sound of nature as well. And we also emphasize on plants that provide fragrance, so flowering plants as well. So these are few of those elements that will enhance or make your garden very therapeutic.
Moving from the softer qualities or the softer upsides of having a garden, what is the monetary value, I suppose, of adding a garden to a property?
If you look at it, the outdoor room is as extended room from your building as property. Like valuers will value properties like 3+1 bedroom or something like that, right? So if you include it, you have another outdoor room, functional outdoor room, where you can go out and do barbecue, or you can entertain, or when you open your sliding door, you actually expanded your living room to
even
to
as
outdoor.
A reading space.
Yes, yes, and also like yoga room, you know, or for contemplation. So this definitely will add value to the properties. Yeah,
I'm speaking today to Desmond Ho, horticulturist, garden designer, managing director of Terra Gardens, and author of Desmond Ho's Guide to Beautiful Home Gardens. And we're talking about creating a home garden in the new year. Coming up, we find out, does size matter? Is a bigger garden a better garden? On The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon. You are listening to The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chwee Lin. With me is Desmond Ho, horticulturist and garden designer. And today we are talking about creating beautiful home gardens for the new year. Desmond, so we've talked about, you've discussed how people can make use of smaller spaces, you know, including using the wall, for instance, instead of the floor. Is a bigger garden a better garden? You know, a bigger garden with more space to walk around in, for instance?
Lynn, not necessarily that bigger garden is actually better garden. Of course, bigger garden, you have more option to play around with, but smaller garden can be very cozy and intimate too. So, but the trick is actually you must plan it well. Yeah.
Are water and lights important features to have in a garden?
Definitely. Because water, as I used to say, water will create the sound of water, you know, the trickling sound of water that will actually very therapeutic. And for light, a lot of people neglect the garden at night. But in fact, actually, if you light it properly, the whole garden can turn into a very magical place. Because, you know, people always close their curtain, they don't look out because it's so dark outside in the garden. But if you light it properly, this will actually, you can actually bring in this view of the garden, especially at night or even it's rainy night. And that will actually enhance your lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. So it's that time of the year where New Year's resolutions are being made. What are some tips you would give to people who want to start a new garden or who are moving into their first home, for instance, and starting to think about the garden?
Planning. So a lot of time, like Malaysian, you say we are rojak society, or very impromptu. So they always, first thing when they get a key to a new house, they will jump into their car, drive around the neighborhood, look at other people's garden, trying to get inspiration. But what they have to do instead is actually to plan their wish list. So that is the most important. And then plan according to their lifestyle, the family lifestyle. And then they will get a garden that is actually very meaningful and they will enjoy it for a long, long time.
So for people who are just starting out, should they go all out from the beginning or would you recommend taking gradual steps and building a garden, a month at a time, for instance, instead of just populating the whole thing?
Like Mother Nature, you always teach you to be in tune. You have to start one step at a time. I always advise, people who have, they call themselves, don't have a green thumb, or they touch plant can die. They have a magic girl hand.
That's me, yes.
So you should start even in front of your working desk. So a desktop plant. So that's how you get to know. Get to know the plant, get to know Mother Nature before even get into gardening, as per se.
So if you're starting to make those first steps into planning, how do you begin that plan? Do you start by looking at your space or do you start by, considering your ideal plants and then trying to make them fit into the space?
The planning for wish list is actually the ideal. You should start by picturing what you like to do in that garden, so-called garden space. You, your extended family, your husband, your wife or your children, and then don't think about that big do, the celebration, Hari Raya, Chinese New Year, Deepavali, no. Look at the one that every weekend that you will spend time, how you would like to use the garden, or you come back from a hard day's work, what would you like to do in the garden? So some people are morning people, so they would like to wake up early in the morning, do their yoga or meditation. Some people, they are evening, they come back late at night, so they would like to sit out in the garden, maybe just to wind down before they get into the house. So all this must be penned down. And then when designing a garden, you can have actually a garden that is tailor-made and customized for the lifestyle of the family.
And when it comes to, making that wish list, how important is it to have conversations with the people, running the nurseries, for instance?
Well, once you have a clear wish list, then when you start talking to your contractors or to the nursery or to the garden designer, you will know that who are the people that can deliver this wish list? because they are not just selling materials like per square foot material, how much, how big is this pergola or how big is it that decking. So a lot of time people make mistake by buying things. Oh, I feel like I want to have a swing, so they go and purchase a swing, and I feel like I want to have a pond. And because the feng shui master said the right-hand corner of the house have to put a water feature. So that's how. If you plan like that, chances are your garden would not have those, what we call garden with soul.
And that's not what you want at all.
Yeah.
After populating a home garden with flora, should it then be accompanied by fauna as well?
Well, just like Mother Nature, it should be balanced. There's day and there's night. You should have flora and you should have fauna too. But
you can't try and eliminate all the insects, for instance.
Only the challenges is sometimes in shady places to get a flowering plant to bloom is a bit challenging.
Many Malaysians resort to cementing or tiling up their lawns for convenience sake with a few plants here and there in planter boxes. Is managing a home garden difficult and time-consuming?
I always say this, maintenance and pleasure, the balancing between maintenance and pleasure. So if you come from a line of thought of like garden is just for maintaining and maintaining, you will end up just tiling it up. But even after you tile up your garden, you still have to maintain because you still have to wash. You know, sometimes there's dirt and there's leaf from neighbor garden that fall into your yard. But if you have nothing, just imagine a plain bare piece of cement or towel, what can you do out there? So you don't have the other attraction, so you won't use pleasure wise. When pleasure is below maintenance, then you become a chore. Whatever you do, you become a chore. So the trick here that we always advise our client is actually to increase the pleasure. So by having a lot of other activities, functionalities in the garden, then it makes sense. Everybody want to find excuses to go out there to use the garden. So maintenance is actually no more a chore.
Right. And this is also where we come back to the issue of having the right wish list.
Yes.
Okay. Are home gardens a luxury? Because I guess some people, the people here who would be tiling up their homes, would deem them unnecessary.
I think in Klang Valley, home garden is a necessity. It's no more a luxury. Because look at our lifestyle. Look at our children's lifestyle. The internet have changed so much, and pace of life has moved so fast, and especially kids, they became indoor creatures. You know, people spend a lot of time in front of their TV monitors, games and stuff like that. So I think a gardener is a balancing factor that will bring people. You know, it's not that to do to be a hardcore outdoor living
and farmers.
But it's something to balance up with this urban lifestyle.
And a big part of that urban lifestyle is the growing condominium boom. So, what is your advice to people who stay in apartments or condos to maximize the small space that they own for a garden?
Well, to me, I think they are very lucky if they say you live up in condominium. A lot of people think that, I live in condominium, I have a small little balcony, there's no reason for me to do garden, there's no opportunity for me to do garden. But I felt that, you know, especially those in the higher floors, sometimes you have a beautiful skyline, you know, and that beautiful landscape or skyline should be brought into your living spaces. By the trick is actually, if the living room you have a sliding door, and if there's nothing beautiful to look at in that small little patch of so-called balcony or garden, then you will always close the window, the sliding door or curtain, and then you'll be living indoor. But if you extend that, do a little bit of water feature, small little water feature, have a little bit of plant, and then you actually can blend. It become a place to actually merge the outdoor and the indoor, and you can steal that landscape view from outside into your home.
What are the differences between a traditional garden, modern garden, and a conceptual home garden?
Well, I think from my opinion, that is just a style of a garden. It can be any style. It can be traditional, modern, minimalist. It can be English. It can be Malaysian. But if a style without substance, then the garden is not going to have a soul.
So for the people who are now listening to this, making a wish list, thinking about, you know, how they want to do this, what would you say are the pleasures and benefits that come from creating a conceptual home garden that really express, you know, the homeowner's personalities?
Normally, after you finish doing up your garden, especially following your wish list, the garden is just like a skeleton to me, you know. Normally, what we did is we advised our client actually to put in the character. Example, if you go away for a holiday by the beach, you know, or anywhere, you just buy a little souvenir, and during that happy moment, just to recap, capture that moment, and then bring it back, and you can hang, say, for example, a wind chime or ornaments that you, or sometimes you don't even have to buy. You collect a piece of rock, seashell, and you include it into the garden, so it become a treasure trove of memory, good memories. So this will be a good conversation piece as well when you have friends come by and sitting down, looking at this stone, and you can actually tell all the good memories that happened before.
And as mentioned, you've recently written a book. Do you have any plans for another book in the future?
Definitely. Okay. Definitely, Lynn. Hopefully that we have the strong support from people who believe in our work. Our next book is going to be dedicated to a truly a Malaysian garden book.
And what would your final message be for people whose New Year's resolution is to create beautiful home gardens?
Again, planning. Yeah.
Like think about what you want.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much, Desmond.
Thank you, Lee.
I've been speaking to Desmond Ho, horticulturist, garden designer, and managing director of Terra Gardens, as well as author of Desmond Ho's Guide to Beautiful Home Gardens on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.